And you're listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, and you are about to hear Bicycle Talk. It's very exciting. So we are here with Ron Menizan. Today we have special guests.
Good morning. This is the Bicycle Talk show with my co-host, Fran Storch, who you just heard, where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. And yes, today we do have a couple of guests in the room, which is very nice. We have both Lon Holtgren and David Palmer from Bike Mansfield that are here today as our guests. Before we get to them, I just want to go over just a couple of things that I have on my list. And just so you know, coming up, I'm going to go to the calendar here very, very quickly because there's a couple of calendar events which I find are very important. One is on Friday, June 3rd, there's a Bike Walk Connecticut Annual Summit at Central Connecticut State University, which I will be attending. Maybe Lon will be there too. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a minute. I don't know if you guys are interested. But anyway, it's a statewide meeting. It's bicycle workshops, thing all about bicycle and pedestrian transportation. On Sunday, June 5th, there is the Wethersfield Bicycle Show Swap Meet Festival. So that's another thing that is available, a fundraiser for the Wethersfield High School Cycling Club. So it's a place where you can swap bicycle goods if you have things that you want to sell to one another or swap with one another. And meanwhile, we are back to our show right now. And on our show, again, I have the two of the members, founding members of Bike Mansfield, Lon Holtgren and David Palmer. And I'm going to go to Lon first, and because I think you were the first one that contacted me about putting this whole thing together. Can you tell us a little about yourself and about what Bike Mansfield is?
Thanks, Ron. It's great to be here, talk about bicycles and bicycling. When I was the public works director here in Mansfield, I never really got enough time to do some of the things that I thought would be really beneficial to the community. In other words, we had to deal with sewers, and we had to do with garbage and roads and all those exciting things. So anything for alternative kinds of transportation tended to be put in the margins. So we worked in the margins as best we could. And in fact, we did apply to be a bicycle-friendly community in, I think it was 2012, shortly before I retired. And they sent back a critique of our application, saying there's a few more things that the town needs to do to be bicycle friendly.
Can I ask you who you apply to?
Yeah, the League of American Bicyclists does their designation every year as for bicycle friendly communities. They also do bicycle friendly businesses. I think they do bicycle friendly universities. They have a whole program of that, which is pretty exciting. And so we have been working since I retired to put together an advocacy group to follow along and try to get the town into the first level, first rung of being bicycle friendly, which I think is, it's not platinum, it's not silver, it must be bronze. It must be the bronze level bicycle friendly community. So there are a number of things that have to happen for that to take place. And we can get into that a little bit later, but just suffice it to say that one of those requirements was to have an active advocacy group in town, and that's what we've done. We've formed a group called Bike Mansfield. We're meeting basically monthly and supporting everything that we can in terms of bicycle friendliness. And David Palmer, I'll kick it over to Dave. He was instrumental in helping us get it set up as a website and get our logo and all the kinds of basic things you need to have an organization up and running.
So why don't we switch right over to Dave and see what your involvement is here and how you got things going and what brought you to this area and to Bike Mansfield?
Well, I'm have only been out here for about 3 years now, and one of the things that I always look for in any city that I travel to or region or country that I travel to is what's happening with active transportation, as it's now being called, biking and walking together. For the first year that I was here, I didn't have my bicycle. I had left it in San Francisco. It took a year to transition moving out here. And so I was walking a lot, and in the process of, I live out at Juniper Hills Village with my 93-year-old mom, and I would walk the sidewalk from the Mansfield Senior Center area, Maple Road, all the way to the community center every day. And every day I would curse that walk because the sidewalk was so bad.
It's not wonderful.
And so I actually, that was how I first got to meet Lon, was because he was still working for the town at that moment, and it had informed me that this was the oldest sidewalk in stores in town. And so it became a project to get it repaired.
It's much better now. I was on it this morning with my fitness walking class.
There we go.
Yeah, it was very nice.
And the first year we got it patched, and the second year we got it replaced. So, but it introduced me to Lon. And when I did get my bike out, then the next logical step was to explore bike advocacy and education issues in the town. As you may or may not know, San Francisco is a big bicycling town and has had a very strong bicycle advocacy group for a couple of decades, and they've made just tremendous inroads. You wouldn't think it, with all the hills, that it would be so popular for bicycling, but in fact it is. And they've put in miles of bike lanes out there, and was very strongly proactive in a very difficult urban environment. So moving out here was kind of interesting because it's not an urban environment. You know, it's a rural environment.
Right.
I just called around a little bit and immediately discovered that Lon was putting this organization together for bicycle education and advocacy. And out of that, I began going to the meetings, put my my name in the hat, and began working with Lon and a great group of other people to just kind of move this agenda forward in as many ways as possible. And it's been quite enlightening. It's been a great education for me. I'm not the biggest, 100 mile a week bicyclist.
You don't have to be.
But we now have a president of our new nonprofit who is.
Right.
And that's been a great advantage. And I've just learned a whole lot, even through the educational workshops, seminars that we've put on every about three times a year at the community center. You can read about whatever the latest ones are in their brochure. And we put on educational seminars, workshops. The latest innovation was this past spring when we showed screened a couple of movies, bicycle related movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, slowly but surely, I'm incrementally getting myself more educated about the needs and differences, comparing the differences between the town and country biking.
Right. Did you have experience with this in San Francisco before?
Well, I was part of that outrageous group in the early days that was riding in would take over the streets of San Francisco just to bring bicycle awareness. Yeah.
Like the critical mass people.
The critical mass, the original critical mass.
Yeah. Critical mass is kind of a funny thing. We had a critical mass group in Hartford years ago.
Really?
When I was on the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have a mixed feeling about critical mass.
Sure.
First, we should probably explain what critical mass is, and that would be where a large number of participants on bicycles basically block the road and block all traffic and ride down the road collectively as this huge group, and they let people know that bicycles belong on the highway
or on the road, so to speak.
Right. Is that fairly accurate?
I think that's pretty good. There was always an organized, organized ride. At the beginning, people would get together, and just to underscore, you know, the seriousness of the effort, it happened on a Friday afternoon right at the middle of rush hour, at the beginning of rush hour.
That's when they used to do them in Hartford, too. They used to do them on Fridays. I guess that's kind of a national thing, huh?
And they would hand out, organizers would just hand out a route for the day, the evening, and people would just ride the route, you know, for an hour or two, and it would go through a different neighborhood. And of course, it would snarl the evening traffic in downtown.
Oh, it just makes an awful mess. Yeah,
and it did create a lot of controversy for sure. The police were out in numbers to try and manage the intersections as best as possible. But what they were managing were the cars, because the bicyclists just went through red lights or whatever.
Right.
And it was a very in-your-face kind of a way. Now, remember that this was, you know, some 20 years ago that this was happening, and bike awareness was pretty minimal. And particularly, as I was saying, in a town like San Francisco, where there weren't any bike lanes, you know, in those days. And now, you know, it's I don't know if they still do the critical masses every Friday, but they did it for years and years and years. And it really did at least bring the issue to the surface. So that's a kind of in-your-face advocacy.
Right.
Now, out on the East Coast, there's a little more conservative out here, I think, and not quite so in-your-face. So we do things like have T-shirts that say on the back, 3 feet, please.
Yes, admiring your T-shirts. These gentlemen are both sitting here with T-shirts on that are very bright yellow, like a neon yellow, and they say Bike Mansfield on the front, and on the back there's arrows that point in both directions, right? Mm-hmm. And it says 3 feet, please. And the reason for that is because 3 feet is a requirement by law to give a cyclist when you are passing them on the road. A law that very, very few motorists know about, which is another issue and a discussion that I think needs to go statewide. As far as, you know, if I were king, I always say if I were king, but if I were king, I would make sure that there was a notification in every car license renewal and registration renewal.
Sure. Yeah.
So that, you know, when you opened it up, oh, look, new laws for bicycles. And there would be a list of the new laws, like that one right there. And then there's another one that was passed last year that basically stated that a cyclist was to ride as far to the right as possible, but as far to the right as safely possible, deemed by the cyclist, not by the motorist, which is the common problem. Is the motorist says, you should be over as far as you can to the right. Well, there's a pothole there. There's glass from some motorist that threw their bottle out or whatever it is. So if you start taking your life in your hands, or you start having a problem with, you know, road hazard, that sort of thing, you need to be able to make that decision as a cyclist to make sure that you're not, you know, going to do harm to yourself. Anyway, but the 3 feet thing, a lot of people don't know about. So those are great shirts, because it's really big. You can see 3 feet, please, right on the back of these shirts. And I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago on the first show, and Ken Kryatsky, and he said there's a gentleman who rides around in Hartford who has a yardstick on his back of his bike.
Oh, I heard that show. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
And, you know, it's 3 feet. Yeah. So if you get too close, you're going to hit the yardstick, and then you're going to be too close. So, yeah. I mean, there are alternative ways of being a little radical on this. But anyway. Yeah.
It's just that people, you know, like you say, it's really awareness, you know, it's education, awareness. That's what advocacy is all about, you know, is raising the profile for this form of active transportation that is growing. It's you know, there's no doubt across the country and even in Connecticut that this form of transportation is becoming more popular. And every Bike to Work week, you know, demonstrates more things happening every
sure.
year.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, Lon, what are we doing in Mansfield that's changing this?
Well, as I was saying, when we made our original application to the league, they gave us back a critique, and they basically said there's five things that Mansfield needs to improve in order to be bicycle friendly. And those five things were, number one, you need a master plan for what the community wants to be like in terms of bicycle facilities. So we have a plan now underway, writing a plan between biking and walking, and we've been talking with both the bicycling people and the walking people in town. Hopefully that plan will be finished this year. So number one was a master plan. Number two was a complete streets policy. You've probably talked about that here before. A complete streets policy just basically tells the policy makers that there are more than just motorized vehicles using streets. And so we've actually drafted a complete streets policy, submitted it to the various advisory committees for review, and I believe it's underway. They were also hopeful that will get adopted by the town this year. The next thing they said we needed to do is have some sort of an enforcement effort. That doesn't mean, you know, people writing tickets all the time. It means involving the local constabulary in your bicycle efforts. And we've met with their resident state trooper. They're very supportive. They actually, all of their officers in Mansfield, it's a resident state trooper town, they're all certified to ride bicycles.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, to be a bicycle patrolman or whatever.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. They don't do a lot of it because it's such a big town and there's so many hills. It was explained that if they're in one end of the town and then there's a call on the other end of the town and it happens to be uphill, they will be a long time in getting there.
Yeah, because we do have some big hills.
But we've been working with them, and they've been very supportive. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, the fourth thing was an advocacy group. You will recall when we submitted the first application, you and one other person were our advocacy group.
Right. That's right. It was very thin.
We met to review the application, and we sent it in, and we were a little bit light on the advocacy. So we've beefed that up quite a bit. Last I heard, we have about 100 people. On our
over 100
people on the
really
on the
that's
mailing
right.
list
wow.
for Bike Mansfield.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The email
right.
list. And the last thing, which is perhaps the easiest of all these, is education. Mm-hmm. And we've now had maybe a dozen or so classes, either all the way from maintaining a bike to how to ride in traffic to touring on a bike to
Nutrition
and exercises and posture and all those kinds of things to help you be more healthy in riding your bike.
And a lot of those were at the community center, right?
They've all been at the community center. And we have now the transportation center, which has a bike space, a bike room we can use, and we're starting to meet there. But the community center is just great. Everybody knows it. Everybody used to go in there, so it's hard to beat that as a meeting center.
So some of us spend a lot of time there.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Spinning our lives away.
Yes, we do.
So the town had a lot of facilities. I mean, we have a system of connecting bike routes. We have a transportation center with a commuting center there for bikes, which now I think we're up to four or five people that have rented cages in the bike storage room, which is a locked storage room, swipe card access only. And there's showers and locker rooms upstairs.
I told someone about this, and they were amazed that Mansfield had this.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they don't have this in Hartford.
It's starting to catch on. I mean, there were only a couple of us in for quite a while, but I understand we've got some more people that have enlisted now.
That's wonderful.
And we also have a number of mixed-use paths that were essentially set up so that you could bicycle and walk from point A to point B safely. In fact, now there's the Four Corners is completely connected to the university, and we have paths that basically circumvent the university.
And there are sharrows on that road that comes through now, which we did not have before. So right. there was no right. way for anyone to understand right. that, mm-hmm. that you could ride your bicycle safely from Four Corners, which is a very busy section, into UConn campus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was treacherous on 195.
Yeah.
There's very little shoulder, and, you know, there's just heavy, heavy traffic for people commuting in and out of the university.
Right. Right. So. Well, so there's a lot going on, but there is a lot to do. And, you know, like everything, every other great cause that we experience in our lives, lots of people are sympathetic to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not so many people that are willing to spend a lot of time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of sympathizers, but we are amassing people who are ready to actually roll up their sleeves and get busy and do some of these things that need to be done. So that's heartening to see.
Yeah, well, it's really nice to have you guys take all this effort and energy and move it forward. So the goal is to make Mansfield a bike-friendly town, right? That's the whole idea here. When do you get your approval on that? How does that work? And is there a ranking? How does that work?
Well, I think there are two application deadlines a year, and the application's fairly extensive. It's done online, but it's probably 10 pages worth of questions and filling in the blank and examples and so on and so forth, plus photographs that you send in as well. So we have to, when we get a little further along on those five things that we have, I mean, I think we've covered education and advocacy, but we still have more to do on the master plan and some of those things. But when we feel as though we are judge-worthy, then we have to redo our application, send it in. So I think there's one in July and probably one in either December or the middle of the winter. That's my guess. I'd have to go look at their website to see when those applications are.
So can you give us a sneak peek on the master plan, are we keeping that behind closed doors?
Well, the master plan basically will outline where the gaps are in both the bicycle and the pedestrian networks in town.
Mm-hmm.
And those are fairly easy to come up with because they connect things that are already there.
Okay.
And the people who are behind walking want us to designate two different kinds of walking. There's recreational walking, and then there's walking for transportation.
Sure.
So the plan will kind of address both of those. And so we're still in the process of compiling what should connect to what and mapping. The town engineering department has been very helpful. They've given us maps, nice big base maps to work with, so we can put little dotted lines on them where things are supposed to go. So that's basically what it is. We have to connect the dots and write a little more about why we want to do it, when we want to do it, and how much it's likely to cost, and then take it through the hearing process and get both the planning and zoning people and the people on the town council to endorse it.
So we're sitting here in the middle of the University of Connecticut campus, and obviously there is a lot of bicycle traffic around here because of that, and I have not been overly kind to the university, even though I'm sitting on the radio station. I am not overly kind to them about their attention to cycling. Can you tell me if there's been any communication with them as far as future needs for bicycles on campus?
Well, when I back 2010-11, they did an active bicycle plan for the university with routes and things. I don't know what the status of that is, when they're going to update it or revise it. But they have done some efforts to set up those things. But I'm not sure exactly how they're meeting, you know, their actual capital improvement project schedule. I don't know whether they've got, you know, plans for bike lanes here and there. So I'm a little bit out of touch. We've been working with our president, Amber Pierce, who has a good contact with the Yukon Cycling Club on our educational stuff. But as far as the physical stuff on campus, you know, we've been doing so much to try to get the town stuff set up. We really haven't had time to buttonhole the planners at UConn. We have them on our mailing list, and they know what we're doing, but I guess I don't really know what they're doing right now.
Well, if the town sets an example, maybe they'll kind of be enticed to do something on their end, too, to make things better. You know, you think about how many students that live off campus that are using bicycles to get in or walking to get in. And I know that, Lon, when you were with the engineering department here in town, you put in a number of these wonderful walkway bikeways that were put along some of the busier roads in town. I was on one this morning with my fitness walking class, the one on Separatist Road, and it's great. I mean, it's just a wonderful piece. And then there's another piece that goes all the way out to 44.
Yeah, and the town just got a grant to complete that section from Maple to Separatist.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
I do believe they got funded through CROG for that. So that'll take a little time, but that'll make that connection along 275.
Well, I found a secret way through there. But
yeah,
if you go up past the Mansfield Senior Center or through their parking lot, you get on a little walkway, and that brings you over to
Sycamore comes out at Separatist.
And there's a dirt road that comes through. It's a really nice little pond there. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it brings you over to Juniper Village, or is that
Juniper Hill Village and Glen Ridge.
Glen Ridge. It brings you over to Glen Ridge, and then you pop out at the end of Glen Ridge, and you're right across the street from Separatist. So,
While we're dissing the university, I do want to mention that they did hire a wonderful transportation planner a year or so ago. Her name is Tanya Husik.
Okay.
And she has been at the Greenway meetings. She was at the Greenway meeting that they had recently in Bolton.
Very good.
And so she's on to what needs to happen in terms of bicycles. I always make the point that if a young person is considering a place to go to school, and one campus has this wonderful bike network set up, places to store your bike and places to, you know, and the other one doesn't really know what they're doing about bikes, well, guess where they're going to go.
Right, exactly.
So I think it's a very big marketing problem.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I just, I would like to see more usage of bicycles. And I remember years ago, there was a master plan here on the university, and I think it's still in place. We were actually talking about that a little bit this morning on our walk. There's a master plan to eventually shut down most motorized traffic in the center of campus and make it all pedestrian and bicycle only.
Awesome.
Except for service vehicles.
Right.
And that was a plan that was, I remember hearing about that probably at least 15 years ago. And it really hasn't come forward yet, but it's a great idea.
A
great idea.
That happens on Fairfield Way now. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cross piece that runs perpendicular to Fairfield that runs from the end of Mirror Lake all the way over to northeast.
Sure. So it would be really nice, though, if it were to shut down a few more of the roads. There would have to be some sort of a plan to get people to the parking garages, because they're kind of in the middle of campus, because people do have to drive their cars here, unfortunately. But maybe if it's less convenient to drive your car here, you'd ride your bike here instead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which would be nice.
Well, and kudos to the university for doing such a wonderful job on the new road that they put in from 44 into campus, the new prestige entrance to campus. And they have beautiful bike lanes on both sides, and they did a wonderful job. I go on those at least once a week. I'm riding out that direction.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been out there a couple of times, but I haven't utilized it as much.
And they're still doing the my mother loves to drive along that, too, because it's they're still putting in all of the amenities, the natural amenities, the orchards and whatnot. And every time we go down there, it seems like there's some new landscaping that's been done there. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, that's been a long time coming. That road was there for at least 10 years before they finally decided to continue to develop that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. I guess the idea was to put some sort of a technology park up there.
Yeah,
in the future, which would be another wonderful thing
for
the area. That would be very nice. So anyway, that's that road definitely was a step in the right direction. I know I spoke with our local representative here who had secured $1.6 million or whatever to help develop that road and have that thing go through. And when I pulled him aside, his name is Greg Haddad, and I pulled Greg aside and I said, and there better be a bike lane on there. And he said, don't worry, we're listening.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and then to my surprise, there it was.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But it is nice to see, you know, that when you're putting in a new road like that there is consideration for alternative transportation, which is very, very important, especially in this town. We are in a college town with a lot of people and a lot of people that don't have vehicles other than bicycles or their feet to get around.
Just to underscore how much bicycle and pedestrian traffic we have, I counted bikes and pedestrians at the corner of Bolton Road and 195 as part of the state capital region effort to count at significant intersections in the capital region. And as you know, Mansfield is now part of the capital region. It used to be part of the Windham region, which got dissolved. So that intersection at Bolton and 195 had more bikes and pedestrians on it than any other intersection that was counted during that week.
Is that right?
In the whole capital region. So that just gives you an idea of how busy and how important that kind of walking and biking is compared to anywhere else. I mean, if there's that many people using that intersection and that whole area, for that matter, then there certainly ought to be a good plan to make it bicycle friendly.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. I had no idea. That's
yeah.
That's a very
I stood up and took a bow.
Yeah, you should. That's great. Well, you've done a lot. You guys have a lot going on here. I see you have a website here, www.bikemansfield.com, that people can go to and they can check out and see, you know, what Bike Mansfield is all about. There's a number of different things here. There's an email list that you can get involved with. There's an events calendar, apparently, that's in here, too.
We've got the monthly meetings that happen. Right now, they're happening on the second Wednesday?
Second Wednesday.
Of the
correct.
Month.
Yep. Yep.
At the Transportation Center, the Nash Zimmerman Transportation Center.
Great.
We're very good about keeping the meeting short. They generally don't last more than an hour, and catch everybody up on our current initiatives and making plans for future initiatives that we have. We're going to have a table, going to have some representation at the Tour de Mansfield registration table. Mm-hmm. That's coming up in another 2 weeks. And we'll be signing up people for the email list, just helping keep people informed as to what's going on. Yeah,
That's great. And there is a I think most of the workshops are done right now
for the spring, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
spring.
Is there a plan on more for the fall?
The next ones will be in the fall. Yeah.
Right. We're actually reviewing the bicycle movies were kind of fun.
Yeah.
And so we're reviewing the top 10 bicycle movies right now to see if maybe we might throw another one in there as part of our fall workshop series.
I own a couple if you need
some
movies.
Yeah. So we need to screen them with you.
Okay.
So that we can determine fun. if they'll have good public appeal.
That sounds like fun.
Well, you know, I have my favorite bicycle movie of all bicycle movies is Breaking Away.
Oh.
And Breaking Away is one of my favorites because it is it's the story of me, and it's about this. It's a coming of age movie, and a young cyclist who he and his friends are trying to decide what they're going to do after high school, and you know whether you know they can get into college or not. And they're in a college town. I mean, it's classic, and and of course, this one of those gentlemen is really into racing his bike. He wants to race bikes, and he talks all about the Italians and racing his bike. It's a great, great movie. And it was one of those B-level, you know, under-the-radar movies that all of a sudden got a lot of popularity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I own a copy of that if you need that. But
is it so old it's VHS, or do you actually have a CD?
No, I think I have it on a DVD. Yeah. So I actually have a current copy of it.
Cool.
And we have, what else we have? We have The Triplets of Belleville,
yes,
too, which is a fun animated piece.
Yes.
And so, but there are many, many more, obviously.
And Premium Rush.
Yeah.
In my dreams, currently. I want to be a bike messenger.
Right.
I enjoy riding my bike in cities. Like when I get into, when we ride through Willimantic, I get excited. Isn't that silly? When we were riding in Alexandria last year in D.C., I thought that was fun. I like that. And then when I visit Portland, Oregon, and I, instead of renting a car, rented a bike, that was cool. I like that. I like jockeying through the traffic. I'm not sure what's wrong with me, but I think that's fun.
It's fun. I mean, it's exciting. It's very, very exciting. I did Bike to Work Day a couple of weeks ago, and I rode into Hartford. I took a group into Hartford, and then, you know, I had to ride in and around Hartford to get my way back out. And yeah, you have to, you learn some, well, you were in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
You learned some more, some aggressive behavior.
Well, and you know, we've got train tracks, trolley tracks in the main
street,
Market Street, downtown San Francisco. And people are forever getting their bicycles stuck, their bike wheels stuck.
Yeah, what happens when your bike wheels go into a train track?
It's not pretty. It's definitely not pretty.
When I visited my daughter in Oakland the last time I was out there, and Oakland is a bicycle-friendly community, by the way. Much more dangerous than Mansfield, I might add, but bicycle-friendly. I rented a bike instead of a car, and I toured Alameda and Oakland. And I, you know, when you do that enough, you get up to speed, so to speak. You know when you're going to take the lane and when you're going to hold your place in traffic, and exactly. And it is. It's very exhilarating, but you really have to be on top of your game when you're doing it.
You're not texting while riding.
Definitely not. Yeah.
No, you really have to kind of have eyes and ears all around you when you're commuting in traffic.
Yeah.
But it's easily done. And I was explaining, we were talking about commuting last week. I had a gentleman from Eastford who had called us, and we were talking about, you know, that commute into Hartford. And he said, you know, when he got to East Hartford, it was always like, where do I go? Because there's it's kind of a mystery still as to how you get yourself to Hartford. And you kind of have to weave and figure your way around. But there's two main arteries to go in, Burnside Avenue and Silver Lane. And they're both really busy, and so you really have to be watching everywhere.
No bike lanes on either of them? Or?
Well, not yet.
Uh-huh.
There's work being done right now, and I'll probably have more information on that after Friday at the summit that I go to. But there are some projects going on right now. There's one right off of 84. If you're looking as you're driving in, there used to be a set of movie theaters, the big movie theaters there. There's a big construction project going on right there, and apparently there's going to be a bike lane there.
Yeah.
Right. So that's going to be part of that. I think they're raising the buildings, actually. But
well, the League of American Bicyclists has what used to be called Traffic Safety 101, which is now Safe Cycling, I think.
Yeah.
Is the name of the program. They give classes in the Hartford area about twice a year.
Yeah, I know a couple of the instructors.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so anybody who is interested in learning what the protocol ought to be for the riding in traffic should contact Ron or one of us through the website, and we can put you in touch with those instructors.
Yeah, I might. I'm just making little notes here, too. I might try to contact one of those instructors and put them on the air sometime.
That would be
an interesting show to have.
It would.
I would also love to, and I know a couple of people that are bicycle messengers. That's their job, and they are. And I also have, I have one of my clients who is actually he owns a bicycle messenger service in Providence, and that would be another possibility. So for future shows, but boy, the guys in Providence are tough. I gotta tell you, they've had their unfair share of bad opportunities with cars, where the cars are just, they're very aggressive, and so the messengers have to become more aggressive in order to survive that.
Yeah, well, one of the movies that we screened this past spring was called Bikes Versus Cars, and it examined the issue on a number of levels, including this level of antagonism that sometimes happens between bicyclists and car drivers, and a lot of that has to do with education. Car drivers oftentimes don't understand that, slowing down for a few seconds for a bicyclist is not going to really make them late for their appointment, they just don't have that sense of time. You get into a state of frantic, lateness, and you think everything has to go fast.
And people don't get it. Fran and I had an encounter out in, believe it or not, in Canterbury, out in the middle of nowhere. There was a four-way stop. And we were with a friend of ours, and I got to the stop before they did. So the vehicle had come around them, and I was at the stop sign, and I was going straight. And so I came to a stop. I did the right thing, and the vehicle came around me and made a right-hand turn into me. And I
right cross.
I smacked the side. It was a pickup truck, and I smacked the side of the truck, and it makes a lot of noise when you hit it with your hand, and kind of threw my hands in the air, and the guy pulled over, and I went up, and I said, come back and talk to me. I indicated I wanted to talk to him, and so he pulled over, and he and his wife were in the truck, and there was a lot of screaming coming out of the truck, and I found that the best way to deal with people when they're like this is to stay as calm as you possibly can.
Sure.
And so I went up to the side of the truck, and they're literally screaming at me because I touched their precious vehicle, but probably other things too. But they're just about, you bicycles, you this, you that, just lots of accusation. And the first thing I looked right at the driver and I said, thank you so much for stopping and talking to me about this. That's the first thing I did.
Yeah,
I thanked them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the passenger in the vehicle continued to just scream at me and call me all sorts of names. And it was just bad. And the driver is like tense, and he's up. I got his hands up on the steering wheel, and he's just very, very tense. And I just looked across him and I said, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the driver of this vehicle. And she just got very quiet. And I watched the body language of the driver go from tense on the steering wheel to his hands dropping down to his lap. And so I could see that there was probably a little bit of a discussion going on with these two. And they were having a little trouble with, their opinions on the cyclist on the road. But anyway, I just simply asked him something really simple. I said, if I were a car, would you have done what you just did?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's all I asked.
Right, right.
I was in the middle of the intersection. I was not as far to the right as possible.
Right.
I was the vehicle in front of their vehicle.
Sure.
And they made the decision to come around me and cut me off.
Yeah.
And I said, that's all I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I were a car, would you have done that?
Right.
And the answer is obvious. No. Well, then please don't do it to me because you weigh 6,000 pounds and I weigh 140 pounds. And
well, that's a great way to deal with it because, so often it's really, you can always find, and you hear this all the time, car drivers always have examples of bad behavior among cyclists. And there's bad behavior
constantly
on cyclists.
You know? Oh, there's a lot.
But there's a lot of bad behavior on the part of cars as well. And so we need to, we need to kind of begin communicating in a more friendly fashion. And you were speaking earlier about educating people when they get their driver's license renewal and having information packets, about things like the bicycle road rules changing or rules for the road for bicyclists. And certainly the same thing is true when you are getting your driver's license for the first time. When you're a young person, you should be made aware of all the vehicles, that utilize the same roadways and how to behave around cyclists and how to behave when you're on the cycle, on the bicycle as well. And that's something that we have in our sights, for the future of, as Lon said, we've got a long agenda of things that can be done. And
sure,
it's going to take many years, a generation of work to make things happen. But, slowly chipping away and educating through programs like this on the radio and on TV, I think make a huge difference.
We're trying.
There
we're
go.
Trying.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing that we really need to look at, and this is a tough one, because I know that there are a lot of, and I think the Mansfield police officers are fairly well educated as far as the cycling goes, but I think that our law enforcement is not real well educated as to the bicycle laws that are out there. I had a discussion with a state trooper out in Lebanon last year, and he immediately pulled out a piece from his car and said, here's the laws right here. He had an actual piece that was in his car that he carried with him, so he knew what the rules were, because I had this discussion with him. We got into this great talk, and then I said, the problem I have is that sometimes I've had to have a police officer involved and they really don't know the laws. And he goes, oh, well, in Lebanon, we're educated on this. And I think that's probably Troop K or whatever it is out of Colchester that is doing that, if I've got that right. But they're on top of it. But there are others that aren't on top of it. And I know that because I've had officers that will misstate the law.
Yeah.
Because they're not aware. So that's another angle that we have to look at. As bicycle people, we need to make sure that our law enforcement is educated so that they don't side with the car. Maybe they look at it from the big picture and get an idea as to whether someone is right or not. I'm looking on your webpage here. It looks like there's a few things here. Obviously, the Tour de Mansfield is coming up very soon. And that is something that has been around for a long time. It is now the John Jackman Tour de Mansfield. Right. And John was a friend of ours, and he's unfortunately no longer with us, but a very prominent figure in our town, and he was the fire marshal in our town. There's a great John Jackman story that comes along with a long bike ride was going up into Massachusetts, and a few aggressive gentlemen in a pickup truck, I think it was. Fran, you were there, weren't you, for that one? So there were a couple of aggressive gentlemen in a pickup truck who decided to get a little outspoken to the cyclists that were going up the road.
They weren't in a pickup truck. They were in a fire truck.
They were in a fire truck. They were actually in a fire truck?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought they just had a fire department sticker on the truck.
I don't think so. No, I think it was. I'm not sure now.
Yeah,
but
so
it was. But
anyway,
it was obvious to John that they were firefighters.
He recognized that they were volunteer firefighters, and he recognized that they had some sort of identification on the vehicle that indicated that they worked for. And John made a phone call to their captain.
No. What he said was, he said to the fighters, listen, I think they stopped. He stopped there and he said to them, listen, I'm the fire chief of, I'm the fire marshal of the town of Mansfield. And when you get back to your station, have my fire, you have your fire chief call me. And if you don't, I'm going to call him.
That was it. Yeah.
And that's what happened. And so the fire chief did, in fact, call John and they had a discussion. And he explained that there were some rowdy fellows in his company harassing cyclists and that they needed to stop. Mm. And those guys called, I think they called John back officially and apologized.
And apologized.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a classic John story. That was a good yeah. one. So anyway, this ride is in memory of John, who was a great guy. And this is also part of the Mansfield Downtown Partnership. Anybody have any information on this, you guys?
Well, the Tour de Mansfield happens first thing in the morning on Sunday, June 18th, and it's a great ride, and there is a website. Just go to the Downtown Partnership website, and there's a link there to sign up for it.
Great.
And it's a great ride.
That's great.
The other thing that we've got coming up that has to do with the downtown is the Festival on the Square, which is on September 18th.
Right.
We're going to have one of those booth kinds of things. And what we've decided that we're going to do soon, probably the middle of the summer, we're going to start taking online on their website photographs, electronic photographs, of bicycling, anything promoting bicycling in Mansfield.
Okay.
We're going to select from the ones we receive, like the top 10 or 12. We're going to display those in the booth at the festival and have everybody vote on what the best one is.
Oh,
and we'll
nice.
We'll have some kind of great bicycle prize for the winners.
That's wonderful.
So
great
start
idea.
Start thinking about taking those bicycle promotion pictures.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Fran, send a picture of me in on the radio.
And speaking of promotion, for your generosity in having us on your program today, we have Bike Mansfield t-shirts for you.
Well, thank you very much.
That have the 3
thank
feet on
the back.
Thank
you very much. Look,
you.
It says
That's
3 feet,
nice.
Please.
Yeah.
Right. These
and they're
great.
In Don't Hit Me Yellow.
Yes, they are. They are. Right. Please don't hit me yellow.
You'll
yes.
wear them and keep the publicity high.
Yeah. We will, and we really appreciate having you guys here to let us know what we're doing locally, which is really exciting to see because it begins locally and then it spreads. So if you're out there listening and you're thinking about getting your town involved in having it be a bike-friendly town, you can go to the League of American Bicyclists online and you can get information from them, I believe, and they will set you up with this process that we have here of making your town bicycle friendly, which is a very good thing. And the more awareness we can get out there, the more we can get into the school systems, the more people will understand exactly what it is that, you know, these crazy people who pedal bicycles are doing and keep us all a lot safer and a lot more aware. So I'd like to thank you guys for being here. I had Lon Holgren and David Palmer here from Bike Mansfield. They have been our guests today on the show. If you have any further questions or need more information from them, again, it's www.bikemansfield.com. You can go to their website. That'll give you a little bit more information. You can come to the Tour de Mansfield on June 18th. I'm sure they will be there representing Bike Mansfield. And you can also come to the Downtown Stores Festival in the fall. Right. And they'll be
September 18th.
September 18th, which will give you information on that, too. So anyway, it was wonderful having you guys here. You're doing a great job. You're really like, this is awesome. This is a beautiful thing. And I really appreciate you guys coming and spending the time with us today.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Ron.
All right. So anyway, that brings us, we're getting towards the end of our show. There's only a few other things that are on my list. And so anyway, again, that summit that's coming up this Friday is kind of an interesting thing. It is put on by Bike Walk Connecticut. It is a bike walk summit and walk audit training. And basically we have, there's going to be some speakers there. There's a person by the name of Mark Fenton who is there, is a local advocate for non-motorized transportation, a frequent consultant on bicycle and pedestrian community plans and recognized authority on public health issues and the need for community environment and public policy initiatives to encourage more walking and bicycling and transit use. He will be there doing a talk. There's a lot of things going on. There will be a couple of different panels for advocacy-oriented things. So I'm excited to go to this and learn more, and hopefully I can come back with some information that I can share on our next show. I also have someone possibly lined up for the next show who is putting on a program in Hartford, which is taking old used bicycles, fixing them up, and giving them to people in need. And so I'm hoping that Tony will be able to join us on the show next week. It looks like we're going in a positive direction there, so I will probably have another guest next week. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk on WHUS 91.7 FM Stores. And Fran, do you want to sign us off?
Yes, so you've been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. This has been Bicycle Talk, and we will be back next week with more Bicycle Talk. Thank you for listening.